Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Radio Show. We're glad that you can join us today, and we're glad that you can just stay with us for the next hour, and we have a lot of great information that you need to hear and you need to act on. And I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Bob Griswold, and then...
I'm Mary Griswold. Today's show is going to be a little different. We have two very special guests, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves with their background, because... both of them are amazing. And I'm going to start with Doug.
Hi, I'm Doug Gould. I am the Chief Technical Officer at Cyberteam US. I am a computer security expert, and I have done a lot of work on the elections, but we'll go back a little farther than that. I started at Bell Laboratories and worked with Kernahan and Ritchie, who are the two guys who wrote the Unix operating system, and I did a number of other things while I was there. Including discovering an Al-Qaeda attack on U.S. soil, which we were able to successfully stop, and went on to a separate venture and ultimately back into AT&T, and I retired several years ago from AT&T as the chief cybersecurity strategist for AT&T. I was also the chief security officer for the World Institute for Security Enhancement. So I've got a little bit of a background in security, and I've done a lot of work on election integrity. When I saw the elections in 2020, I saw the numbers change on the screen, and it did not make sense to me, and I wanted to know the truth. So that's where I got my beginnings in that effort.
And I'm Lockwood Phillips, and the host of Viewpoints on the Talk Station, and a big fan of the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, CCTA, and of course, Wake Up Call. I'm quite honored and appreciative of being allowed to sit in on the program today. In reality, I'm actually sitting behind the board. Bob is normally sitting behind the board, so I'm doing some of the production work, and I am fearful that I'm not necessarily going to step up to Bob's professional talents. As a matter of fact, I was looking at some of the details here, and the way you run the program, it's very impressive. As a matter of fact, I've already told him he needs to go start teaching people, myself included, on how to do this. But anyhow, thank you very much for letting me sit in on the program.
I appreciate your being here. It's Mary's program. Don't blame me. Blame Mary.
Now, Doug, I'm going to ask you some questions here, because a lot of the questions about the election in 2020 are very technical, and I need to have you give me a kindergarten version, and I'm going to ask you kindergarten questions so that you can help me out here.
That's awesome.
Now, a lot of the information I have is from a Gateway Pundit article from July 1st, where they put together all the information on the election fraud. And one of the things they talk about is ENR, the election night reporting, and where that comes from, and an organization, Edison Research, and another organization, SO...
It's Seidel.
Seidel. Okay, now will you talk to me about Seidel and...
Sure. So when we all watch the election night reporting on television, we see these numbers popping up on the screen and the commentators saying, oh, well, so many percent of the vote is in and the polls have closed in this state and that state and the other state. And here's the tally of votes that we have as of now, with 62% of the precincts reporting and candidate A leads candidate B by so many million votes, or whatever the number is. So I was always curious where they got those numbers. I thought originally and years ago that they got them from exit polling. Well, they don't. They get them from the election officials themselves. And the way that's done is the vote tally is copied from the voting machine onto a little USB flash drive, and they walk over to a separate computer, supposedly, and they plug it in, and they upload that data either to Seidel, a company that does that election night reporting, or to Edison Research. Now, Seidel is based in Barcelona, Spain. So before our election is over, our election data is being exfiltrated to a foreign country. Imagine that.
Bobby. Now, a quick question, and you know, having been a poll observer or an election observer inside of the polls and whatever else, that at the end of an election cycle, not mid-cycle, but at the end of the election cycle, as they're closing that machine down, that's when they report that tally both on tape and onto that USB drive. And supposedly it's a brand new clean USB drive, serialized and all that rigmarole. And so therefore, it's not like an interim report from that voting site. It's supposedly the final report from that voting site.
However, we've learned that there are some voting sites that do load interim data up, and before that data is finalized, certified, before it is officially approved as the final number, it's going overseas to CITL. And CITL reports their data to Edison Research, according to this article. And I haven't formally examined the data to make sure that that's correct, but that's what the article here is telling us in Gateway Pundit. Edison Research is based in Edison, New Jersey, actually, and they receive vote tally information from all of the Dominion Voting Systems machines. There are several other voting systems manufacturers, including ES&S and Clear and several others that are used throughout the 50 states. And they each state seems to choose which of the reporting agencies they use. But all these numbers funnel in. And then those are provided to the news networks, and that's where the news networks gets their feed. So very interestingly here, that data is coming indirectly from the voting systems. It's not a human that's sitting down tallying it, and there's no human typing the data in. So when I'm watching the election night reporting in 2020, and I see Trump leading with 300,000 votes and Biden with 180, and all of a sudden there's a flip, several hundred thousand votes flipped. And all of a sudden now, Biden's in the lead and Trump's way behind. And you know, I did graduate from the third grade, and it's always been my understanding that when you add one plus one, or when you've got a stack of things that you're counting and you add another to it, that the number can only go up, it can't go down. And I saw the number of votes go down, and I know there's something wrong with that. So that was what triggered me. Because that is not the way computers work. That's not the way the system works, and that's not the way elections are supposed to work.
One of the things mentioned in the article is something called the F curve or the fraud curve. Are you familiar with that?
I am indeed.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Well, what we see in looking at election data from across the country, and this information comes from what is called cast vote records. So a cast vote record, just so that you know, or CVR, is a file of data about all the contests in a race. So I'm just going to mention Trump-Biden, since that's a 2020 election. So the Trump-Biden race, as batches of ballots are produced, and they're scanned in batches of about 100 and tabulated, as they're tabulated, it says, here's a date and a timestamp. This many ballots came through, and this many votes were for Trump, and this many votes were for Biden. And then for every other race in that precinct, they list all the candidates and the actual vote totals.
For that hundred ballots, they do a tally of those 100,
That's correct.
They move on to another 100.
And they move on to another 100.
So in theory, they're added on to each other.
That's right. And there we've got a record of how the vote totals came out. And what you would expect to see, especially early in the race, is take a coin, flip the coin once, and you're going to get a result. And that one result, that first result, is 100% of the vote. Okay, you flip it twice, and now you've got 50% of the vote. Each one is 50%. And as you grow them, the amount of change that a single ballot or a single coin flip, in this case, can do, gets smaller and smaller and smaller, because the number of people, the number of samples you're looking at, gets larger and larger and larger. So one ballot out of 10,000 is only 1/10,000th of the vote. So we would expect to see the difference between two candidates getting smaller and smaller and smaller. If there were a large popular difference between the candidates, one's way ahead of the other, you would see their votes gaining far ahead of the other, as we do in this F curve. But what happens in the middle of the election is all of a sudden the candidate, in this case Biden, who was behind, takes a quantum leap. I mean, a very large number of vote changes, which are much larger than 100 votes can do, given the total number of ballots at that point. And all of a sudden, he's leading, and he's leading by thousands of votes.
And I think
that's what we call the F curve, because it looks like the letter F when you look at the graph.
Okay, and I was going to say, and we saw instances where 100% of the vote was for one candidate, which statistically that you wouldn't see.
That's true. As you go further down, the curve, to make, let's say, a 1% change in the total vote, the amount of ballots that have to be added in favor of candidate A or B, it gets larger and larger and larger to make a 1% change. When there are 100 ballots, it's one ballot that can make a 1% change. When there are 1,000 ballots, it takes 10. When there are 10,000 ballots, it takes 100, and so forth and so on. And what we see is that the rate of change of the vote totals is constant, which means that that number is growing much bigger than is even possible, given the election rules and the way things work.
Well, thank you for staying with us. Thank you, Doug, for all of that. And I'm glad that you are staying with us, folks. And we ask you to, again, listen to our sponsors and supporters and what they have to say. And please stay with us. There's more fantastic information coming right after this break.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back from the break. We appreciate your staying with us, and I'm going to again defer to Doug. And do you have anything else to add instantly? I mean, you know, it's funny when I look at some of the The anomalies that you're talking about, and I'm not going to really say they're not anomalies, but they're intentional swaps. We have also heard of something called gaslighting. In the report that you saw, there was something called gaslighting. Just for the public, I want to make sure you understand what gaslighting is. And gaslighting is, it goes way back to somebody reducing the light in the house to imply that you're going blind and everything that you believe isn't true. So we're just going to feed you so much false information that you will then begin to believe that the false information is true and your own reasoning and common sense is baloney.
You know, this is Lockwood stepping in this conversation, and I really appreciate you allowing me to be a part of the wake-up call. Doug, the thing that intrigues me is that amidst all of this, we're now 3 years past that election, and people have gotten to the point where they're basically, to your point a moment ago, Bob, they're turning off. They're just saying, okay, I've heard it. But there's more to this, though, than just that one election, is there not? I mean, there is the potential for future problems, and it goes to the topic of how do we educate the public and keep them informed?
That's absolutely right. So when we look at, we've looked at votes in many states, and there is a new report that they don't mention here, I think called Fingerprints of Fraud, authored by Jeff O'Donnell, and it is a summary of the cast vote totals in every state, precinct by precinct by precinct. And what we see is a consistent pattern of changes in the vote totals, in the ratios of candidate A to B. We see a consistent pattern. There are about four different patterns that are employed nationwide, but they're across multiple states, multiple precincts, multiple counties, and it's the same pattern. And, I mean, think about this. So go to an elementary school or high school and line up the kids, order from tallest to smallest. That's a huge challenge to do. But if you were to try to do that in every state, in every precinct, I think statistically it's impossible.
That goes to the topic also of the impact this can have on other elections as well, not let alone a national election.
That's true. So, I mean, in looking at some of these elections, we've actually seen videotape evidence of people in the voting room and doing things. And the problem we've got with this is, take your laptop out or take your cell phone out and look at that cell phone and tell me if you can see the electrons moving inside it. The answer is you cannot. It's impossible. Humans cannot observe what happens inside the computer. And a lot of this fraud comes from issues that are in the computer itself, the way the computer's programmed and the way that it is connected.
It's interesting to me. First of all, if we don't fix this, then 2024 becomes a major problem. That scares me. And I go back to a quote in 2016. Donna Brazile wrote a book, and in it she quoted Hillary Clinton, excuse me, on election night, saying to Donna Brazile, "You've got to fix this, because if you don't fix this, we're all going to hang." Well, in America, you don't hang when you lose an election. So what was she referring to? What did she know that we don't know? I also want to point out that The Guardian, not known as a conservative publication, warned that Seidel having total control of ENR and Dominion voting systems and possessing a near monopoly on tabulation is a problem. And this was long before 2020. So they're aware of the problem. They've chosen not to fix it. The people who run our elections have chosen not to fix it. And that is frightening for what is going to happen next year.
So I'm wondering, again, to Bob's comment a few moments ago about gaslighting. We're coming to the point where I think the general populace is accepting this, Bob? Am I understanding your question a few moments
ago? That's my implication, is that because the mainline media, I'm going to say the mainline media, yeah, is constantly being barraged with that consistent, undermining the truth. Undermining the truth. And Doug, I know you talked about disinformation and misinformation. I know you mentioned that before. The disinformation here is just trying to lead us astray and give us confidence in the wrong thing.
Doug, I'm agreeing with Bob on that, because the other aspect of this, your comment a moment ago, I appreciate that, Mary, and the fact that you wanted it from a kindergarten perspective.
Yeah.
You've done that. You've pointed out the anomalies. I'll use that description, but it's not resonating 3 years later. That's the
no. It's not. Thing. It's not catching on.
And we had the stories. I believe it was in Michigan where the observers were locked out. The glass was blocked. We had the story in Atlanta where it was shut down for a water leak, which evidently was a toilet that wouldn't flush. We've also had, it's evidently been confirmed, about the mailman who was delivering ballots from New Jersey to Pennsylvania. What is it going to take to wake people up? And are we happy? I mean, we've had, as you said, the 2020 election is 3 years away. And look at the destruction wrought on this country because of that election. Look at where we are now versus where we were 3 years ago, economically, in terms of inflation, in terms of our position around the world, in terms of, and this is a whole nother discussion, but in terms of the U.S. currency losing its status. I mean, we are not in a good place.
We're in a horrible place, and in fact, unless we fix the election infrastructure, we're going to continue to have what we had in 2020, which is not an election, but an installation of a pre-selected individual. And you can read the forensic reports and get into the details of the mathematics. I'm not going to go into that here because I'll lose everybody. But the bottom line is there has been systemic fraud. And if you look at that report called Fingerprints of Fraud, you'll notice that the pattern is exactly the same pattern throughout the United States. And you see these changes at exactly the same time in multiple states in exactly the same way. That is not statistically possible to happen on a natural basis. There has to be interference.
That's only possible because of our wonderful thing called the internet and the communications channels.
Well, and I think, again, the point is that you cannot see the electrons running around inside the computer. And when you cannot do that, then you need records to be able to audit it. The federal law states that those records have to be maintained for 22 months. In Colorado, they've changed the state law to 25 months. But in either case, if you look at the forensic report number one from Mesa County, which I wrote, we've documented that within 6 months of the election, Dominion Voting Systems came in with a so-called software update. They not only changed the voting software, they overwrote the disk. They repartitioned the disk to deliberately destroy all existing data. And then they put the new software on. So those records are not maintained for 22 months at all. And they argue about, the operating system logs are not part of the election records. Let me set the record straight. If somebody breaks into the computer system, it is the operating system logs that will contain that evidence. I've been doing this for decades. I work with the Secret Service. I work with the FBI. I work with other organizations and private institutions in forensic analysis cases. Never lost a case. And we find the evidence in the logs that show that the intrusion occurred, the crime occurred. In Michigan, one of the election analyses looked and found a gap in the middle of the log data So we all remember Richard Nixon and the tape that got 18 minutes of buzz on it. And this is what we had in our election data. Somebody broke in there, did something nefarious, and erased their tracks. Why did they do that? Because breaking into a computer is a federal felony. They didn't want to get caught.
I know we're coming up on a break. When we get back from the break, Doug, I would like an explanation of proportional, integral, derivative control function to the mathematically challenged.
Okay, be glad to do that.
Well, wait a minute. Just before we go to the break, though, I'm understanding as you're saying there. Well, I go to the bank. I'm sorry, your bank records no longer exist because we updated the computer today. And I go to my IRA, and I'm sorry, your IRA is all gone because we updated the computer. So let's just go with that as the equivalent, and don't worry about it. Folks, we're going to go to another break to hear from our sponsors. And again, thanks for sticking with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Well, welcome back from the break, and I'm glad that you could stay with our sponsors, and we ask you to go and visit the sponsors. Just tell them that you appreciate them sponsoring this radio show and supporting the show and sponsoring this information. I'm going to go right back to, Mary, you had that question.
Yes, I want to hear about proportional, integral, derivative control functions for the mathematically challenged.
Say that fast.
Yeah. One more time. Would you say that so that I can? I'm sitting here in the studio with you, and I didn't even. One more time. Derivative what?
Proportional, integral, derivative control function. PID control.
Okay. Great. I'm glad you asked that question. So, let's talk about the heat in your home, and we'll assume that we have one of these PID controllers on your heater. And you walk in and you've been on vacation and the heat's been turned off, or it's turned down to 55, and your house is 55 and you're freezing and it's the winter. So you turn the heat up to 80. What the controller does is it says the difference between 80 and 55 is very big, So we're going to turn the heat on full blast, and it's going to start to heat the house up. The system will then measure how fast your house is heating, and it will calculate the rate of change. And what it does as it does that, it's called integrating. It's calculus term and integral, right? So we're integrating the temperature over time, and we get a rate of change. And when we get to 70 degrees, closer to, you know, or 68, if you, let's say you set it at 72 and we're getting to 65 degrees or so, it goes, it's time to slow this thing down, or we're going to go to 90 in the house. So at about 65 degrees, it starts to turn it down. That's part of the derivative control. So it will slow it down so that if you drew a graph of the temperature, what you'll see is it goes from 55 up to 65 real slowly, and it starts slowing down and levels off at exactly 70 degrees. Instead of going to 85 and then trying to cool and back it up and down and up, proportional integrated derivative controller, PID controller, is nothing more than something that looks at the rate of change and makes adjustments as necessary to reach the desired result.
And that's what happened with the voting numbers.
It did. And in fact, if we go back historically, Sidney Powell had a case that was filed in the Supreme Court in the state of Arizona. And you can find this data at defendingtherepublic.org. And if you scroll down to the legal cases under the menu and go to the state of Arizona, there's a file called combinedexhibits.pdf, and it contains all the affidavits and so forth that she submitted as part of that case. In the very first exhibit, affidavit number one, a Marine security guard for President Cesar Chavez of Venezuela is testifying in the affidavit that Chavez had paid Smartmatic, one of the predecessors of Dominion and ESNS and Clear and all the rest, Hart, InterCivic, and so forth. One of the predecessors who developed the voting algorithms was charged by Cesar Chavez, who said he would give them anything they wanted in exchange, to create a voting system that could predetermine the output, the outcome of an election, and cause the winner to win by a small but convincing majority. Those are the words in the declaration. I quote, small but convincing majority. Cesar Chavez did that in Venezuela. The Marine security guard goes on to testify how he sat in the control center in Caracas, Venezuela, watching the votes come in from precincts all around the country. And at one point in Venezuela, in the election, this is, let's see, after Chavez stepped down, the race was between a guy named Maduro and Radonsky. And they didn't want one of them to win. And what they found out was the candidate that they wanted to lose at one point during the election was 2 million votes ahead and would clearly have won the election by a landslide. So what did they do in Venezuela? They shut down the internet in the entire country for 2 hours. And when it came back, Radonsky was clearly in the lead and Maduro was out. And this is a similarity that we've seen in Georgia in the 2020 election and in other states where results counting just stopped anomalously. Now, if you ask me my thoughts about this, I go back to the founders of this country. We have elections in November. We don't certify the president until January 6th. We don't inaugurate the president until January 20th. And the reason for that was that when the founders wrote the Constitution, we didn't have these little things called computers. We didn't even have transistors back then or even vacuum tubes. That was many, many, many years later. And so that amount of time was given so that we could count all the votes by hand, put them in a pouch, deliver them by Pony Express, and we could get the results certified. This is also the reason that the United States Congress has to vote on January 6th to certify the vote from the electors, and the electors are supposed to be representing each of the states and voting what, you know, as the states vote. So when we look at today's election systems, we see people wanting to know, jumping up and down and screaming at 11:30 p.m. on election night about who the winner might be. And, oh, I want results, I want results. It comes from a culture of instant gratification. Today we see kids on their cell phones and they can't put the cell phones down for a conversation because, oh, I got to text to somebody. Hold on, let me text in the middle of my conversation. Instant gratification. There is no reason, no justification whatsoever that we need to know who the president is on election night, period. And there is no reason that we have to allow these fraud-enabling machines called computers to be used in the election. These things can be counted by hand. Now, I want everyone listening to think about this. If you have a computer system and it's all connected to a network, and I did say if it's all connected into a network, it's possible for one person at one location to trigger a massive fraud that changes the leadership of an entire country and even the direction of an entire country. If you get rid of the computers, you probably have 50,000 people at all the different precincts hand counting ballots. And if you wanted to change, if you wanted to flip the vote, it takes the collaboration of 50,000 people. That's not going to happen.
I'm jump in here. Lockwood joining the program today, and thank you very much for allowing me to participate to Bob and Mary here on Wake Up Call. You know, Doug, to that point, I talked to a friend of mine regularly in London, and he points out in London, they hand count their ballots. So it's done in other countries and very easily. And they, by the way, that's part of the problem, is it not? We've made these very large precincts, and now, of course, you're dealing with a high volume of ballots, and just more difficult for the precincts to count these ballots.
I'm not trying to walk the tightrope too tightly, but you know, somebody was talking about if you're hand counting all these ballots with 68 different races or whatever else, is fatigue. Well, at least use the local voting machine to do the tabulation of the ballots. Mm-hmm. That would be auditable right there. But I want the reporting of that tabulation to be done by humans, the reporting, not to be done by a computer system.
By the way, that brings up another point. And that is, we have some instances where there are no paper records. Am I correct on that?
That's right.
And that's bad.
Well, this goes back to being able to look at the
audit trail.
Chads, the hanging chads.
Well, the hanging chads, but also the aspect of not being able to see. Well, at least you could audit it.
Yeah.
Granted, it got down to a choice.
Yeah.
But it was a public choice. Everybody knew it. And whether you were on the winning or losing side,
at
least it could be arguably justified by the winning side.
Mm-hmm. And even with the ballots, there's a problem. So we have this large problem with absentee ballots and huge tranches of ballots coming in. In the state of Florida, it was discovered that a number of people who had registered to vote had been the victims of having their election data in the registration system hacked. And their addresses were all changed to one fraudulent, non-existent address. Absentee ballots were requested. And then they went back and they changed their addresses back to the original address. So now when those people go to the poll, somebody has already requested an absentee ballot, voted it, it's been received, and the poll worker says, well, sir, you've already voted according to our records, and unless you can prove that you didn't already vote, your existing ballot is going to count and the absentee ballot won't. But we'll give you a provisional ballot to vote. So that's a problem. So it's my understanding that both the state of Florida and the Federal Postal Service are investigating that.
Okay, folks, we're going to take another break and to hear from our sponsors and supporters. And again, I'm sorry to break in, but we ask you to stay with us for another segment.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back from this break with the sponsors. Again, please visit our sponsors, talk to them, and thanks for staying with the CCTA wake-up call, and we ask you to just stay with us. Doug, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, we were talking about absentee ballots just before the break, and just to wrap that up, there have been a number of incidents, including truckloads of ballots being delivered after the closing of the polls.
So, and also absentee ballots printed on the wrong size paper.
So it doesn't scan properly. People in election offices are just standing up and saying, oh, well, trust us. We know for sure that your vote's counted. Folks, you know who John Gotti is, famous mobster. If he was the accountant certifying your bank account, I don't think you would trust him. You need to look at these elected officials the same way. These are people who are power hungry and they want an elected position so that they have, quote, authority. And they don't have, most of them, don't have a shred of knowledge about computers. And every word that they tell you is some word that they're being told to repeat, and it's an absolute lie. They don't know on the basis of their own knowledge or their own education that it's true. Dominion Voting Systems comes in and says, oh, we're going to do a logic and accuracy test. You know what the logic and accuracy test is? I throw a batch of 100 ballots in, random races and random numbers, and the thing should tally the 100 ballots correctly. Well, folks, computers have a thing called a test. So you can say, is the number bigger than 100? Is the number bigger than 1,000? Is the number bigger than 10,000? And after that, start the election fraud with a built-in algorithm. It's very easy to do. We use We use counters and tests all the time in computer programming. It's very, very fundamental.
Doug, so I was using a business software that I know when they had piloted it and we got to the beta testing of it, and boy, that system worked fantastic with 100 customers and 50 suppliers and all these next number of transactions. When you got up to 200 customers, that thing died. I mean, because of the way that it was written. So yes, it looks wonderful on the surface, but that Yugo is no longer going along the road.
That's right, right. It's a Rolls Canardly. It rolls down one hill and Canardly make it up the next, right? That is unfortunately the life in computer programming. And as much as you hear, oh, it passed logic and accuracy tests, and the manufacturer says blah, 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 don't listen to that. The manufacturers, all of them, have elements of the Smartmatic code created by Cesar Chavez to throw an election. And I can go a step farther than that. There are countries, and I'm not going to identify which ones because, oh, gee, maybe the United States is one of them. There are countries that use the vulnerabilities in election systems to throw the election in other countries to their political advantage. This has been going on for decades. And I think it's one of the reasons the government doesn't want this election fraud issue known. This is why they're stepping on it. And I will tell you that the stepping on it, we have learned, is coming from the highest levels in this government. The highest levels. Extreme corruption. I would go so far as to call it treason. Death penalty treason. And there are people who will eventually, I hope, be caught. I will tell you that the evidence in the reports that I've gotten, it's never been debunked. It's never been heard in court. Judges have thrown out the entire case without hearing the evidence. But in my second report, report number 2 for Mesa County, I go into a spreadsheet. In one cell, there's the number 1. I change it to 2. I go to the next cell, and it's 2, and I change it to 1. That's all I did. And I flipped 25,000 votes from Trump to Biden using the actual voting software with the actual votes in it, which was published on the internet, by the way, so you can get it if you know how to access it. And in my report, the only thing I did not include in my report was the administrative password to the voting system, because that is against the law to do. So I did not do that, but everything else, step by step, is a complete instruction to duplicate exactly what I did. And that's why my report's never been challenged.
Doug, you mentioned treason before, and I know CCTA is trying to get a resolution going right now that we want to eliminate statute of limitations on treasonous acts. We don't ever want that statute to expire. I don't want anybody to get away with it. So CCTA is working on a resolution that we're going to submit. Folks, we ask you to get on board with us.
That would be awesome.
You were going to talk about surveillance.
Surveillance, indeed. So we have all experienced concerns over privacy and surveillance, and I think there's a great deal of that that goes on with the election systems as well. You may have heard of government programs called Hammer and Scorecard, which are run by the intelligence agencies of this country, and they are based on a supercomputer that surveils voting systems and can change the vote. And as I said before, there are some countries that manipulate the vote in other adversary countries to their own advantage. And this is the kind of technology that is required to do that. Back to surveillance. It becomes a real serious problem. We look at the voting and absentee ballots, and we see fortunately, banks have cameras, and there were banks that had video surveillance cameras aimed over at the area where they were absentee ballot deposit boxes. And we see one guy coming in, stuffing in 300, 400, 500 ballots. One person, one ballot, folks. not one person, 500 ballots. And this is repeated throughout the country. But as we look at surveillance and the surveillance state and the control of people through electronic manipulation, it gets worse. I've been working on a project with my own cell phone, and in the past month, I looked at a tally of the number of tracking attempts to my cell phone in the past 7 days. Care to take a guess how many in 7 days? How many tracking attempts in 7 days? It was in excess of 83,000 tracking attempts in 7 days on my cell phone. And that's Google that's doing it. It's Facebook that's doing it. My bank had an application that was doing it. There's a solitaire game on my cell phone that I sometimes play, and it was doing it. I'll actually be publishing that through Cyber Team in a couple of weeks, publishing the study about how companies are using electronic surveillance to market to you and to track you.
Now, on the internet, whatever comes for free, you are the product.
Oh, that's right. So you walk into the grocery store and you walk by the French fry kiosk and there's a screen there. And all of a sudden it chimes up, hey, would you like French fries?
But let me interrupt here on that one, Doug. The argument was that the tracking for some of these people that were depositing these ballots, they said, wasn't absolutely accurate. They were somewhere within the vicinity, but that not necessarily mean they were there at that site. But you're telling me they actually can be placed at that site.
Absolutely. In fact, law enforcement regularly uses cell phone tracking to place a suspect at the scene of the crime. It's done all the time. I could, for example, track you throughout the world.
Wait a second. This wasn't a crime.
No, wait a minute. This is gaslighting. This is gaslighting. Gaslighting again.
But that's what the movie 20,000 Mules. Was it 20,000 Mules?
Yes, 20,000 Mules talks about that tracking.
And they did have surveillance cameras But the
most recent argument has been that the tracking information from the cell phones is very broad. I'll use the word anomalous or amorphous. They're somewhere in New York City, but they were named the location in New York City. But we're hearing from Doug, to the contrary, they can specifically cite
They put you on a street corner.
Well, the interesting thing is with some surveillance cameras showed people depositing the things and then taking a picture of themselves at the deposit point so that they could get paid for depositing.
Right. Yeah. Proof. They needed proof.
But folks, this never happened.
Rubber, yeah. You had people with latex gloves on in November. In the South. I mean, give me a break.
The problem we have, and I'm thinking, is, and I know we're coming close to the end here, how can we, to your point earlier, Bob, we've been gaslighted. What can we do? What should we do, Doug?
Well, the first thing is, in security, we talk about that security policies and the actions that you take for security are completely worthless unless you have enforcement. So we've got to have good enforcement, and the penalty has to be so extreme that nobody would dare to do this. And I would advocate for the death penalty for anyone who tampers with an election. If they tamper with the election and it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, not through speculation or hyperbole, but if it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they did so, just like a bank robbery. A bank robbery steals a couple of million dollars from one bank, and the citizens in that vicinity suffer. But when somebody steals an election, all of us in the entire country suffer, and sometimes outside the country, the entire world can suffer. And I think we've seen that happen here.
I commend you on that one, Doug. And to your point earlier, Bob, the whole issue of a statute of limitations. Mm-hmm. And a good example is the statute of limitations for maintaining those records. I think that's something that we need to alter. And to that point, we have created this environment where basically after a period of time, if you're not caught, you're exonerated. Yeah. And Bob,
We've seen that with Hunter Biden's tax fraud.
Oh, who would have guessed that? You know, folks, but one other thing that I'm going to ask you to do is I want all of you to go to your Board of Elections and sign up to be an election observer or an election worker. I want all the boards of elections to be flooded with individuals that they know nothing about.
And again, the problem that we're going to see is that you can't see the bits and bytes in the computer.
Okay, well, thank you, folks, for staying with us. Thank you for staying with our CCTA wake-up call. You have a wonderful week. And thank you, Doug, and thank you, Lockwood, for being with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you for listening to Wake Up Call. Each week we try to present an issue to keep you informed in the hope that you will get involved, because an involved citizenry is what we need to bring our country back to the principles it was founded on. This organization is a conservative grassroots organization that has the purpose of keeping you informed and allowing you to come to our public meetings, which are the third Tuesday of every month at Stanley Hall at 7 o'clock. This month's meeting, August's meeting, the month coming up, will be North Carolina House of Representatives Majority Whip, and he will update us on what has happened in the North Carolina legislature this year. We need to be informed. We need to know what's going on in our state, and periodically, the CCTA puts together a trip to go to Raleigh and talk to our legislators. We are a grassroots organization, and we need to represent the real people and go up and talk to our legislature on issues, on conservative issues that matter to Eastern North Carolina, because sometimes Eastern North Carolina gets lost in the shuffle. Thank you very much for listening. Please support our sponsors and have a wonderful week.